All right, it's halftime of Sunday Night Football, Steelers and the Cowboys. I'm still here at Levi Stadium, finished writing, and I think it's time for 49ers post-loss strategy session. You could see what Tim Kawakami just published up on the San Francisco Standard. The 49ers are in a season from hell, and now they know it. The subheadline. The 49ers could have closed this game out 10 different ways. Instead, they ended it looking as burned as the fans at Levi Stadium who suffered through the scorcher. Yeah, it was hot out here. I think it's still warm out here. 97 degrees. It reached 97 degrees during this football game. My article's going to be up soon. We'll toss it up there in just a second. But, you know, at this point, that was obviously tough for the 49ers. They were up 23-10. At halftime, they lose 24-23. They had the game where they blew the lead against the Rams. You lose two divisional games against two teams with lesser talent, I think has been obvious. And those are gut punches for the 49ers. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But what I focused on was the fact that this is a quick turnaround to Thursday, and we've been looking at this as a two-game set. From the time that the schedule came out, I've always thought this two-game set's really going to set the tone for the 2024 season, regardless of what happened in September. They went 2-2 in September. That's the preseason, right? You're warming up in September. Now you've got to start turning things on, and they failed to capitalize on the opportunity to put everything together in terms of complementary football, cohesive football today, and now the 49ers immediately are going to have another chance to do so on Thursday. If they win on Thursday, by the way, they're going to be in first place in the NFC West. So I think that perspective should color everything as we go into the strategy session, talking about what exactly the 49ers need to do to fix their issues. And I thought they got really interesting, specific thoughts from both Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa. And I really centered my article around those specific thoughts because the NFC West, I'm not here to say which division is strong, which is weak. We're still trying to figure out where exactly everybody in the NFL is at this given moment. But we do know that the Seattle Seahawks are 3-2 and the 49ers are 2-3. If San Francisco can find a way to win in Seattle on Thursday, all of a sudden you're looking at 3-3 for both of those two teams. Exiting week six, and then week seven, it's the Kansas City Chiefs coming here to Levi Stadium. So from the macro look at things, you have a list of things that you have to do if you're the 49ers. You have to correct certain issues. You have a track record of things falling into place season after season after season, and you still have plenty of time, very obviously, based on the standings and what's happened around the league. You have plenty of time to hit that rhythm that you normally hit. That's why these emotional overreactions are, quite frankly, totally idiotic. They completely ignore what history has taught us. And history has taught us that even a 2-4 49ers team made the NFC Championship game. Is that a high probability path? No, of course not. That was in 2021. And the 49ers want to avoid that. But they went from 1-2 in 2022. Last season, they lost three games in a row. We should be talking instead of, you know, resorting to these, you know, emotional knee-jerk reactions, screaming for better play calling and, you know, more carries for Jordan Mason, even though that doesn't really, you know, fly in the face of you know, normal football knowledge. Instead of these crazy reactions, we should be looking at the strategy of where the 49ers can tweak things to better get to where they need to be as a football team. So that's where we're going to go from today. I have the game book right here. I want to go through a few things first. One of six in the red zone. I like to do the blame meter. I informally talk about it after every loss. Which phase of the game is more responsible for the 49ers losing or most responsible for the 49ers losing? I put most of it or the majority of it on the offense today because, you know, we had been talking about the special teams being ranked number 32 and they deserve to be ranked number 32 entering this game, but they got the massive special teams play today. When Jordan Elliott, I talked to him about it in the locker room, by the way, he reaches up, blocks that kick. He felt that he needed to make up for an offsides penalty that he committed on that drive. So he was hell-bent on blocking the kick. He did block it. D'Amore Lenore scooped it up and returned it for a touchdown. Massive plus play for the 49ers. The only problem was that in that same quarter, they lost Jake Moody to the high ankle sprain. So they're looking for new kickers right now. And when you lose your kicker, it changes the complete strategy of the game. And there was a 4th and 22 that they had a go for later on in the game. It probably cost them the game. So that was out of their control, though. So guys are going to get hurt. Moody got hurt on that play. That's very, very unfortunate. But I thought special teams, it's hard to say, hey, we're blaming special teams because the kicker got hurt. Special teams delivered in a way that they hadn't delivered prior to this game. Defense obviously faltered for the 49ers, but you look at everything through context. It was 97 degrees out on that field behind me today. The defense only gave up 9 yards to James Conner in the first half. The run fits were fine. Then they gave up 77 in the second half. 51 yards on like 5.9 yards per carry in the fourth quarter. I mean, James Conner was, his fourth quarter pace was a 200-yard game. So something happened between the first half and the second half and got worse as the game progressed because of the fourth quarter splits that I just gave you. Something happened to the run defense, right? And what happened is, I think it's obvious, the 49ers got exhausted. You can't, that's why I put most of the blame on the offense and, you know, the giveaways, which are obvious. We're going to talk about those in a bit. And on the failure to execute in the red zone in this game, because when it's 97 degrees outside, it's just fundamental football human reality that guys are going to get tired, especially the guys who have to chase Kyler Murray. And the Arizona Cardinals also wore down. I mean, end of the day, 49ers rush game, I'll tell you Jordan Mason's numbers, 6.4 per carry. So and he had big carries in the second half for San Francisco. So both teams' defenses wore down, but it was the 49ers offense that coughed up the football and couldn't convert in the red zone. So I put the majority of this loss, if we're playing the blame game, on the 49ers offense, which I get it. It's frustrating because especially entering this game, the 49ers offense had been the best unit that they've had. I think it still is. It's also a way to color what we see moving forward with perspective, though, because I don't think anybody should be particularly worried about the 49ers offense's ability to produce this year. I think the worry comes in terms of complementary football. We know that Brock Purdy's really good. We know that even without Christian McCaffrey, they can run the football, as Jordan Mason did today. Brandon Ayuk had a big game for San Francisco, 8 carries. Eight receptions, 147 yards. George Kittle, 8 for 64. That's a big game for the tight end. Unfortunately, I think Juwan Jennings might have been limited by the dinged up hand that he got early in the football game. So they didn't really have a third option there. I guess, well, they had Deebo Samuel, but Deebo Samuel only had 1 reception for 11 yards today. So Deebo Samuel was relatively quiet in this game. I don't think they got enough diversity there as far as the target share went offensively. It was obviously a disjointed game offensively, but the big picture is that this team had been good offensively. They haven't yet morphed into great offensively today. The offense takes the blame. They're 1 of 6 in the red zone. That absolutely must improve. And that's where some of the pointed thoughts from Brock Purdy came through for this strategy session that I'll get to in a little bit. But first, just an overarching look at all this. The most glaring issues defensively to me did not come as they got ground down by the Arizona run game. I thought that was going to happen if you're overexposed in that kind of weather. The most glaring issues came on the zone reads from Kyler Murray, because the first one came on the second Arizona offensive play of the game, and it was a zone read. A zone read is not something tricky. It's not something that you haven't seen before. It's something that you should know that Kyler Murray is going to bring to the table. And the 49ers just looked way too slow. And to be honest, on the second and third levels, they looked ill-prepared for the play. That's not on Nick Bosa, by the way. I think Tom Brady might have said it was on Nick Bosa. It's not on Nick Bosa. I've been around the 49ers building. We even asked, I think Tim asked Bosa straight up today, but this is something that I've had discussions with Bosa about many times. The way that the wide nine and the 49ers defense plays the zone read, it's called scrape technique. Bosa is his responsibility is to crash on the running back no matter what. So he crashed on James Conner. Would have been a stop in the backfield had it been a handoff. It is up to the second level. So that's Devondre Campbell, Charvarius Ward, Talanoa Hufanga. It is up to the second level to make sure that the read part on if Kyler Murray keeps it doesn't turn into a big game. Scrape and release, or you know, pass it on to the guys in the back end. The guys in the back end have to offer some resistance. And they offered no resistance there. In fact, Kyler Murray seemed to already be waving to the end zone about a second or two after faking the handoff to James Conner. And that's just something that can't happen, because you know that Kyler Murray might run the zone read. I mean, that's a day one install for the defense to not be able to allow that. Not only were the 49ers not ready for the 50-yard touchdown, which was the longest of Kyler Murray's career, they also weren't ready, I thought, to defend the zone read later in the game when they were more tired. So I guess it's worse early in the game when everybody's fresh. But late in the game, he picked up the first down on yet another productive zone read run. And to me, I get the defensive line getting worn down. I understand they've even had some injuries there. No Yetur Gross-Matos today. Obviously, Javon Hargrave is hurt. I look at the stats and I see the incremental build that James Conner had from the 9 yards in the first half to the 51 yards in the fourth quarter. And I get it. That's totally natural. That's fine. But what, you know, I think the 49ers should be most upset about is the fact that they weren't ready to adequately defend the Kyler Murray zone reads at the most critical times, second play of the game. And then later in the football game at about 2 minutes left. But all that said, it is a very quick turnaround for the 49ers to Thursday, so they can't sit around and stew about this for all too long. It's literally, what, 3 days? They got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Shanahan's press conference is the conference call the day after. It's going to be at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. It's a lot quicker turnaround than normal. Normally they have that at like 3:30 p.m. So it just gives you an idea of the abbreviated week. Tuesday is going to be more of a walkthrough. They've got to recover. You know, playing in 97 degrees is not easy on the body. You've got to rehydrate. And Shanahan even told the guys in the locker room today, get home as quickly as possible. Get off your feet. Start resting. Be ready for the Thursday night game against a Seattle Seahawks team that lost by 9 at home today to the New York Giants, 29-20. I'm going to delve into the tape tonight. It's going to be an abbreviated week for me as well. But first, we've got to get through this 49ers strategy session. And what was fascinating to me is that Brock Purdy actually offered specific thoughts about the red zone struggles where the 49ers are 1 of 6. He missed George Kittle on a throw today into the flat that it's like, that's on Brock Purdy. Obviously it looked like he was tentative throwing the ball. If he would have thrown it right away, Kittle was open. Kittle would turn, maybe even just run across the goal line. But at the very least, I think he could have had a chance to dive toward the pylon and score. But because the throw was late and because it was inaccurate from Purdy to Kittle, it was out of bounds at what, the 1 or the 2 yard line. I think the 2 yard line for the 49ers. And I think it was a third down play, and it cost them 4 points and they lost this game by 1, but they also went 1 of 6 total in the red zone. So there were 4 other instances where they failed to score today. One of them was the Jordan Mason fumble, obviously a critically damaging play, but Purdy blamed himself for these red zone inefficiencies. He said that he's not being aggressive and decisive enough in the red zone, that he needs to just let it rip. I get it. They're missing Christian McCaffrey. There's a chance that he's back for the game against the Chiefs, or maybe a little bit later than that. We don't have any definitive word on that yet. Christian McCaffrey creates a ton of space. I'm watching a game from up here in the press box, and I think you could see the lack of space even better than you can on television from here. But Purdy thinks that he could still be more aggressive. He can still let it rip to the playmakers that he does have in that tight space, and he thinks that can improve the 49ers' red zone efficiency. The drop-off has been very large. They were at 50% touchdown rate in the red zone entering this game, which ranked number 20 in the league. Kyle Shanahan was extremely blunt about it. I'm going to have the quote for you here in a second because the article is now up on the Standard. Shanahan had one of those Shanahan quotes when he's obviously not too happy about things. Let's get this up on the screen. We almost have it. Here it is. All right, this is now up on the Standard, so you can go ahead and check it out. I'm going to give the link to Mike. It's going to be in the description, and I think it's also time for me to tweet this out. So those of you who are watching on Twitter, you are going to have this article available to you in just a matter of seconds, and then we're going to be able to talk about it. So Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, and the 49ers must hurry to move past this loss. That's the headline. And I'm going to add a little bit to it here for the tweet. Two very interesting and specific thoughts. From 13 and 97. Boom. All right, it's now on Twitter as well, so go ahead and check that out. But the Shanahan quote, and it's in here. I've got to get it. About right here, the red zone. We started middle of the pack before the day started, or we were middle of the pack before the day started, and we got a lot worse today, Shanahan said bluntly. So they were number 20 in red zone touchdown efficiency when the day started, and I haven't seen the updated rankings yet because Sunday Night Football has to end. In fact, I'm looking at the scoreboard here at Levi's. It's start of the third quarter. Dallas is up 6-3. They're still playing it on the scoreboard here in the empty stadium. But once those rankings come out, the 49ers are probably going to be worse than 25th in red zone efficiency. They were number one last season. So they're going to be down in probably the low 40s, maybe even the high 30s percent this year in red zone touchdown percentage. They were at 68% last year. So that's a massive, massive drop off. We know that Christian McCaffrey is important to this team. But the 49ers also have to do better with what they actually have. Purdy says he has to get more aggressive. They haven't run the ball particularly well in the red zone. And I think they didn't run the ball particularly well there this year. I mean, it was terrible when Jordan Mason fumbled in the red zone. There's a lot of like commotion online, people saying they just need to run the football more. And no, that's not how this works. You have to run and decide whether to run or pass based on what the defense is giving you. You don't just run up blindly against the six-man front. In the first half, ton of six-man fronts, just a ton of alignments for the Arizona Cardinals that wouldn't have allowed for an efficient 49ers run game. So Brock Purdy was damn efficient in the first half in response to that. In the second half, there was more of a chance for the 49ers to run. It never quite evened out, but Jordan Mason did get to those 6.4 yards per carry, but they ran when the look was right and they passed when the look was right. But at the end of the day, you have to execute at all times, not just when the look is right for either of those two things. You can't be in Jordan Mason's shoes trying to win the football game, trying to ice the game with a 2-point lead. It's 23-21 and fumble the football as you're already corralled in the backfield. Right. I mean, that kind of stuff just can't happen. And if that doesn't happen, the 49ers probably win this game. The interceptions for Purdy are tough because they were both tipped interceptions, but I do think they might be a little bit connected to what Brock was talking about regarding his struggles in the red zone. Let me find the quote here and then I'll compare it to the interceptions. Let me take this and put it big up on the screen. So Purdy said, when we have a matchup and a good look, I've just got to rip it. So I've got to be better and more aggressive down there. I thought on both of Brock Purdy's interceptions, they're obviously tips. We saw Ray Lopez on the first one, the defensive tackle for the Cardinals knocked the ball up in the air before it was intercepted. And then they came in with the really well-timed safety blitz on the final desperation drive and got to Purdy before he could release the throw, and the ball floated up in there. It was an interception. Could it be that Purdy wasn't quite decisive enough even outside the red zone today, thus leading to the interceptions? It's possible. We're going to have to watch the tape to know for sure. But he did acknowledge that he needs to let it rip and be more aggressive and decisive in the red zone itself. The most avoidable mistake for the 49ers in the red zone, though, was definitely Jordan Mason's fumble. I have a EPA graph here of the efficiency in this football game, and it's staggeringly bad for the 49ers when it comes to the run game. As I try, yeah, there we go. I'm trying to open up the image. Here we go. Let me get this up on the screen for you. So this is from Ben Baldwin's website. Green is good and purple is bad. So you could see the efficiency of all the things that these teams were doing. Divided into run and pass. So my cursor's over here. Look how bad the 49ers running expected points per play was. -0.27 with a 30% success rate. They were not successful running the ball today, and the EPA is made very low by the fact that Jordan Mason fumbled away inside the 10-yard line. I mean, that should have been a scoring situation for the 49ers. Instead, they coughed up the football and gave it to the Cardinals to score the winning field goal the other way. Meanwhile, Arizona had a success rate of over 50% and an EPA that was well in the positives, essentially an inverse of the 49ers. So one of these teams ground the other team down in the heat and was efficient running the football. The other team wasn't. They weren't efficient running the football. That was the difference in this game. It was like an arm wrestling match, right? And Arizona, the 49ers had the advantage early, and Arizona slowly was able to squeeze the life out of the 49ers and win the arm wrestling match 24-23 by the time this one ended. So that rushing efficiency, I think, does tell you a lot in this game. And it does tie in with some of the specific thoughts that we heard from Brock Purdy about being more aggressive when he's passing the football. It's not just one thing that went wrong for the 49ers offensively today. Quite a bit has to go wrong for you offensively when you don't score a single point in the second half against the number 30 ranked defense in the NFL. And that's what happened for the 49ers today. It can't happen. You've got to be better. They're going to have a chance to be better on Thursday night against Seattle. Let's go to Bosa's thoughts today. They relate to the zone reads from Kyler Murray. I'm going to open them up here on the article and get it for you. So this is from the 49ers star edge rusher, Nick Bosa. Quote, "They were giving us a different look on the zone read. In all our losses, the preparation we've had is great, but teams are doing things a little differently, and we need to just adjust a little bit better. They're just showing different looks than what we were looking at on tape, so we just have to adjust." And I think that's awfully specific. He's saying that the 49ers are not making the necessary midstream changes to be in the best position to succeed. We know that the 49ers have a new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen. He's growing on the job. That's fine. And that's something DeMeco Ryans had to do in 2021. We were still, at this point in 2021, we were still far, far away from DeMeco Ryans and the defense hitting its stride. In fact, Arizona came into this building right behind me. Or I'm in the building, but they came onto the field right behind me, and they dominated the 49ers with Colt McCoy That was in week 9 of 2021 against DeMeco Ryans, the first-year defensive coordinator. So we're not even close to that point yet in the season to fully write off the defense and say, okay, this is just who they are. The identity really starts to forge itself in October, maybe even moving to November if we look at some previous examples from the 49ers. But I think that this comment from Nick Bosa definitely indicates that the 49ers have to get on the same page, on a better note, cohesively with their defensive coordinator, with the new talent that they have on the field. There's so many new players. As games progress, you can have the best plan in the world, but the 49ers have a lot of success on their track record over the past several years. So teams are going to be trying different things against you. They're not necessarily going to want to give away what they're going to try against you on tape. And if you're not, you know, the zone reads were a great example today from Kyler Murray. It didn't look like the 49ers were quite ready for them. Bosa hints here that it came out of a different look from Arizona, so that's why they looked surprised by it. So this is a matter of San Francisco checking the box of, okay, we prepare well for these games, but now we have to be ready to adjust on the fly better than we did in this game today. So Purdy thinks he needs to be more accurate and aggressive, or no, he's been, well, I guess he wasn't that accurate on the Kittle throw into the flat, but generally is very accurate. He needs to be more aggressive in the red zone. Bosa thinks the 49ers need to do a better job with adjustments, in particular against the zone read today, but there were other issues. On top of that, you do also have to give credit to the opponent. This is the NFL. This league is hard. So margins are much narrower than you think. And I will tip my cap, if I'm the 49ers, to Kyler Murray and the play that he made to win this game, in essence. 4th and 5, 49ers bring a zero blitz, aggressive blitz, and Murray fading away, probably not really even seeing where he was throwing, but he had an idea where Marvin Harrison Jr. was, made that rainbow pass, just a beautiful pass to Harrison, and he beat Isaac Yiadom on the play. And it was a really hard play for Isaac Yiadom to cover one-on-one, but Arizona moved the chains on 4th and 5, and that ultimately led the way to setting up the game-winning field goal. So nice play from the Cardinals. But we talk strategy for San Francisco, and we do a lot of it in this article, so you can go ahead and check it out. There's a long way to go, and those are the things they need to fix. And we got two pointed examples of what they need to fix from both Purdy and Nick Bosa in the post-game press conferences today. That's the most you're going to hear. That's the most you're going to get. Normally, you don't hear that much from a team after a loss. But I think this one was so simple. It really was simple. There shouldn't be a lot of confusion about why the 49ers lost today. They didn't score points after the halftime. And it was because that they weren't precise enough on offense. There were several drops as well in this game. And the defense just got gassed out there, as tends to happen when it's 97 degrees. And they lost the arm wrestling match. So when things are as simple and you just get beat in the arm wrestling match, you get worn down over the course of the game, you just want to turn around and play the next one. Now, the potential issue is that the next one's on Thursday, and this was an exhausting game to play if you're the 49ers on Sunday, so they have to find a way to be as fresh as possible. But Seattle also played, and they also lost today, so that sets up an interesting matchup on national TV Thursday night. Oh, they don't want me in here anymore. The lights turned off. I wonder if I could wave. Give me 1 second. Let's turn the lights back on. Be back in like 5 seconds. Oh, they're back on. All I had to do was get up. All right. We're here with the lights back on. We can go for a few more minutes. Then I want to get out of here. I think it's time for In-N-Out Burger. I want to see the commercials. I want to see the end of that game, though. Anyway, so you try to fix things moving forward if you're the 49ers, and you have to realize that it is a complementary football is a big, intricate puzzle. if one little thing goes wrong, it could ruin the whole complementary formula. That's why the margin between winning and losing and the margin between looking terrible and going on a tear, especially when you have a lot of talent in the league, is so damn fine. It's very, very slim. So, and we've seen it from the 49ers before when they turned it around from 2-4 in 2021, when they turned it around from 1-2 in 2023, when they went into the bye at 5-3 coming off three straight losses, and then they turned it around in Jacksonville last year. They finally discovered the complementary formula, and it was very clear when they discovered it that they weren't all that far off from it in the games that they lost. Just how the league works, which is, you know, everybody always wants to act like there's some flaw that the team will never be able to overcome whenever they lose. But I guarantee you that a lot of those people, most of those people wouldn't be saying anything close to the same tone. The 49ers had just made one more play to get out of Dodge with a win today. Maybe the 4th-and-5 stop, or if Kyler Murray doesn't make that play. So I think that in the NFL, you know, there's the difference between heartbreak and the exhilaration of victory. Sometimes in the frustration of heartbreak, and Bill Walsh wrote this at some point, he said that you don't realize how close you are to that exhilaration of victory. It could be your judgment can be clouded in some instances. And that's why we use history. That's why we use the model of how the 49ers have won in the past to turn some of these seasons around, to apply it to this season. And it's not like they're in need of a massive turnaround effort. They're 2-3. The season is still young. Their goals are still in front of them. And a win on Thursday turns into an NFC West lead for San Francisco. Brock Purdy has taken ownership, taken accountability, whatever you want, for the red zone issues. He's got to do, as the captain of that offense, as the leader of that offense, he has to do what's necessary to make sure that the 49ers punch the football into the end zone on Thursday against Seattle. They're probably going to be dealing with a tired defense, both on their side and on Seattle's side. On the road especially, it's going to be very, very important to make sure they score 7 as many times as possible instead of just 3. I think that in and of itself will tremendously help the 49ers defense. Special teams is its own entity. They kind of operate, you know, on their own terms. They're not as tied to the offense and defense, which is why today the big play on the field goal block is encouraging from the 49ers special teams. They needed a big play. They definitely did not need to have one inflicted against them again. That had become a trend. So that might have reversed course. We'll see if that course correction continues, that they've typically had trouble on special teams against the Seattle Seahawks, if we're talking about the 2021 season. But offense and defense are interconnected just because of the rest, the momentum of the game, field position, all those different things. And I get special teams can also help field position. But I think that just more points on these drives that go into the red zone can set the 49ers pass rush up so much better. They were getting off the ball today. Early on, I thought Leonard Floyd was offsides on a play. They didn't call him offsides. I thought that he was in Kyler Murray's face quite a few times today, just roaring around the right edge, timing snap counts, it seemed like. Nick Bosa set the record last week for his get-off time. The point is that when the 49ers defense and that pass rush has things aligned for it, it's very quick off the ball. And that's really hard to beat in the NFL, especially given the current state of offensive lines. But you can only get into that mode if you're doing two things. If A, you are stopping the run, and B, you are leading the game. And I get it. They were leading today, but that started to really, really whittle down. It was definitely not a comfortable lead, and then they weren't stopping the run either. But if they would have scored some touchdowns instead of kicked field goals, or, you know, and there was even a drive where they couldn't make the field goal. They had to go for it on 4th-and-22 because Moody got hurt. But if they were scoring more points in the red zone, the lead's bigger for the defense. All of a sudden, the defense is playing on its terms. It's rushing the passer. It's executing those very quick get-offs that we've seen from Leonard Floyd, from Nick Bosa. We've seen him from Malik Collins and all of a sudden things look a whole lot better. So you can see how all of this is really interconnected. Offense can fuel defense. Defense, in turn, can fuel offense. Special teams today fueled both of those units, but then they lost whatever they gained on special teams when Jake Moody got hurt. And the simple truth is that they would have won this football game had Jake Moody not gotten hurt. That sucks for the 49ers. It's tough. They should have done more elsewhere to overcome it, but they didn't. And now they are 2-3 with a chance to bounce back next week. So it's a long season. It was a disappointing game for San Francisco. Tim was very, very put strong with his headline. 49ers now know it's a season from hell. Well, it was never meant to be easy. It's not an easy league. It's a hellish league as far as the competition goes. And the 49ers are still generally healthy. Got some thinness at the safety position. Hufanga left with the wrist injury today. They might have to start Jair Brown, a second-year man, and Malik Mustafa, a rookie, against Seattle. But generally, they have a good bill of health moving forward, and they have to find a way to turn things around against Seattle. It wouldn't have been easy even if they won this game. So you see it around the league. Teams are losing games. Teams are fighting to stay afloat. 49ers in that same position, trying to discover who they are as a football team to make that November run, to make that December run. And I think October is really when you start figuring out what you have. Based on what we saw on the field today, the 49ers have some issues to take care of to reach that complementary formula that we have seen them deliver in the past. So that's the post-loss strategy session. I am going to get going because it's about halfway through the third quarter. I know some of you guys are trying to watch the football game. I'm trying to watch it as well. I want to see the Cowboys. They're an upcoming opponent for the 49ers. They're backed up at their own 16-yard line right now. So we're going to figure that out. 49ers are already looking for kickers right now. They will bring they will have to bring somebody in very, very quickly at the kicker position because they do play on Thursday. No, Robbie Gould is not an option. I know a lot of people asking about Robbie Gould, but he's the head coach at Rolling Meadows High School now, which is the alma mater of Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a coincidence. It's over by O'Hare Airport in Chicago. Robbie formally retired last December. So it's not going to be Robbie Gould. It will probably be another free agent. They just need somebody that could at least give them the possibility of kicking from only 40 yards out. On that very last drive today, Kyle Shanahan said that they would have needed to have gotten to the 15-yard line to try the game-winning field goal with Mitch Wishnowsky. That's about extra point length. They would have gone for it at any other yard line behind that. So you obviously can't play with a hand tied behind your back in Seattle on Thursday. So you're going to have to bring in another kicker because Jake Moody has a high ankle sprain. Is Rodrigo Blankenship available? Could be one. Shanahan said that kickers are like independent contractors. So they're ready to go at the snap of a finger. 49ers are going to try to bring a kicker into the mix. That's it for the 49ers this week. Then there's next week, which starts in just a few minutes. There really is no reason to be emotional about a loss like this, given what the 49ers have gone through over the course of the past several seasons. This is the slog of an NFL season. You're going to go through some of these losing stretches, and you've got to figure out who you have as a football team moving forward. I thought that the Rams loss, that was a ghastly loss for the 49ers, because this Cardinals team's a lot better than the current state of the Rams. So the way that the 49ers blew that game against the Rams, that was a bad Rams team they lost to. I'll venture to say that this is, especially on the offensive side of the ball, we talked about Arizona's ability to threaten with Murray and move the ball. This is a solid offensive team and a bad defensive team. It's not atrocious along both fronts like that Rams team has been so far this year. It's still not a game that the 49ers can blow. I mean, they're obviously not acceptable to their standards. But it's definitely one that shows you that they're not as far from their complementary formula as a lot of people would be led to think. This is still an explosive offense, and this is still a team that obviously can benefit from returning Christian McCaffrey. But I think that their next game, they're not going to be playing in 97-degree weather, and they're going to be playing a Seattle team that's also reeling. We're going to find out, again, as I said, we're going to find out a lot about the 49ers over this two-week stretch. Well, this Thursday game against the Seattle Seahawks lines up as a big-town proving grounds for the 49ers. So that's it. 49ers and the Cardinals, 24-23, Arizona. We'll be back with the next injury updates tomorrow, 9:30 a.m., Kyle Shanahan on his conference call. See you guys later.